Let's begin.
I got all excited.
All right, let's begin. Where's my pen? All right.
We need Bessie to join. If you give her a talk, she'll join.
Okay, we're up to Parshas Nosoi. You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get off. The voice side.
Okay, I'm muting you all. Here we go. Okay. We're up to, we're middle of the Targum. Let's retrieve the pasuk again. Parshas Nosoi. We are up to pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. It's a really good pasuk. It's a very powerful pasuk. Pasuk Yud. The Ish. Es kodosha v'lo yihiyu. Ish asher yitein lakoyim lo yihiyeh. What does this pasuk mean? This pasuk is quite a mouthful. A man, an ish, es kodoshav, lo yihiyu, ish asher yitein lakoyim lo yihiyeh. Let's read the Rashi again. We did the Rashi yesterday very quickly. Rashi pasuk yud gives a perik hey. You don't have the place. It's perik hey pasuk yud. Okay, one second. Perik hey pasuk yud. The pasuk says. Rashi v'ish es kadosha v'lo yiyu l'fisha nemru b'matomis kuhuna l'uvia yachol yovo v'yitlum b'zeroya. I would think that the kohanim can come and take their gifts by force. Tamalemar v'ish es kadosha v'lo yiyu. This pasuk is coming to teach us that when the kohanim get a gift, they have no right to take the gift by force. They have to politely stand outside. And the Baal HaBayis gives them the gift. The Kohen does not have the legal right to take it by force. That's what the pasuk is teaching us. And Ad Kedei Kach, to such a degree where the Kohen can even take the Baal HaBayis can even take money. The classic example of the Baal HaBayis taking money for giving the Truma is where, we said this yesterday, where the grandfather is a Yisrael. His daughter married a Kohen. So that means, and they have a grandchild. They have a grandchild. So, and the grandchild follows the yichus of the son-in-law, which means that the grandson is a kohen. The grandfather, who is a Yisrael, is allowed to hand a $20 bill to the guy in shul next to him, who is about to give away $1,000 worth of terumah. And if you have $1,000 worth of truma, you can give it to anyone who you want. So the one Yisrael says to the other, listen, I know you're giving away $1,000 worth of truma. Why not give the truma to my grandson, who's a poor man? He's a kohen. He is a poor kohen. Instead of give the $1,000 of truma to just stop any kohen off in the street, give it to my grandson who is a kohen. I have a daughter who is a Yisraelis. She married a Kohen, and therefore the child is a Kohen. So my grandson is a poor Kohen. Do me a toiva, give the truma to my grandson, the Kohen. And here is $20 to make it worth your while. You anyway have to give it away. You might as well give it to a person who will give you a couple of dollars. You get like a kickback almost. That's really what it is, right? It's like a kickback. Not really a kickback, but so this is permitted. This is mutter. And the way that we know that this is permitted is from this pasuk over here, where it says here, v'ish es kodoshav, a man regarding his holy matter, meaning tumah matumah, lo yihiyu, it belongs to him. Meaning, it's your decision to give it to who you want. To the degree where you are allowed to take money for directing it to a certain place. It sounds difficult for us to understand this. I agree with you, because you would think this is in the violation of ethics. Okay? If you would appoint a czar on the ethics of Trumas and Maestros, I think you would have a problem dealing with this. What exactly are the ethics of this? But we have to have a muna that this halacha doesn't make a lot of sense, why it should be permitted to do such a thing. And that's what the pasuk we were saying. That this halach is derived from this pasuk. Now let's go further. Mag shetoves hanos and lebol. Next, the oid midrashim harbei darshu by besifer. Now there are more midrashim. What are the more midrash of Midrash HaGadol? The ish. Now we go to the Midrash HaGadol. The ish is kadoshav lo yiyu. Mi shemaakev ma'asrei. So the person that's the ish is kadoshav, a person keeps for himself his holy matters. He decides that he's not going to give truma and ma'aser. The pasuk says lo yiyu. Mi shemaakev ma'asrei. So ve'enu ne'enu ne'estim lo yiyu ma'asrei. So what does that mean? So if the end's going to be she'ein sadeu oisa ela echad me'asara, it's only going to make 1 in 10. She'oisa lemuda la'asos, that it was accustomed to do in the past. It was the field was accustomed to making a certain amount, and now that he has decided the ish es kodoshav, he has decided that he wants to keep all of the truma and the ma'isa for himself. The pasuk says, "Oh, you want to keep the ma'aser, the 10% that you were supposed to give to the kohen. You want to get to the Levi. You want to keep for yourself. You know what? Lo yihyeh. The end will be you'll get the ma'aser. Meaning, your field will only produce 10% of its normal output, and you'll be able to take home with you is 10% instead of ordinarily getting 90%. You have a field that produced 100%. You're supposed to give away 10% and keep for yourself 90%." You have decided that you want to keep that 10% for yourself. The punishment will. Well, Rashi says this. Huh? Rashi quotes in Medrash HaGadol. Rashi quotes in Medrash HaGadol Pshat and the Pasuk. Rashi says this.
I always thought that if you're not giving trumas to maestros, that's when you get the punishment. Here, it sounds like he takes off the truma of maestros, he's putting it aside and say, oh,
No. It means you're not giving it. The ish es kadoshav here means the ish es kadoshav. I'm keeping the kadoshav for myself. On the normals, let's put it in terms of numbers. Ordinarily, your field produce 100 bushels of grain. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to give 10 of those bushels to the Levi, and you get to keep for yourself 90 bushels. This year you decided, you know what, the Levi, he doesn't deserve anything. I don't like him. He doesn't wear a mask in shul. He comes too close to me. He violates social distancing rules. I don't like the Levi. I just don't like him. He's getting nothing. I'm keeping the 10 bushels that I ordinarily give to him. I'm keeping them for myself. So the pasuk says, if you do that, then what the end will be is that instead of the field making 100 bushels, and you keeping 90, and you give the Levi 10, next year the field will only produce 10 bushels. So you'll end up taking the 10 bushels, the 10 bushels that you were supposed to give to the Levi, you'll take that for yourself, and that's all you'll have. You ordinarily would get 90. Because you're selfish and you want to take the extra 10, the curse is, all the field will produce is 10, period. Okay, that's how Rashi learns the Medrash HaGadol. Then Rashi quotes at the end of the pasuk, Ish asher yitein lakoyen. This goes according to everybody. How do you understand the end of the pasuk right before Revi? Ish, a man, asher yitein lakoyen, who is generous, and he gives the kohen what he's supposed to give, Rashi, matanois haru'uyos lo, the gifts that he's eligible to receive. The next two words are lo yihyeh. To this individual, he will have mamon harbe, rich. He'll be a very wealthy man. It's a blessing. Ish asher yitin lakoyen. This is pashup shat. This is not a medrash. This is pashup shat according to all the perushim. Pashup shat. A person that gives to the kohen what he's supposed to give. The pasuk is giving you a blessing according to Rashi. Pshut shel mikra. Lo yihyeh mamon harbe. You'll be blessed with an enormous amount of wealth. Okay, so a person gives what he's supposed does what he's supposed to do. The pasuk is giving you a haftacha. Hashem will pay you back. Now let's see. So let's review the pasuk according to Rashi. Rashi Nochemo. Rashi gives us two translations for the word v'ish es kedoshav lo yihyu. The first half of the pasuk, he tells us the pshat and he tells us the medrash. What's the pshat? The pshat is v'ish es kedoshav, a person in. What is his relationship with his holy matters? When we say the term holy matters, we are referring to truma and ma'aser. Truma and ma'aser really do not belong, they don't belong to him. He has an obligation to give this to the kohen and the Levi. But the pasuk says the ish a man in regard to his holy matters, lo yihiyu. He does, they're his. He does have to a degree an acquisition in these objects to the degree where he will decide who gets it. It's up to him to decide who gets it. A kohen has no right to loot. Okay, no right to come and grab. He has no right. Lo yi, you decide who gets it. That's the pshat. The drasha is the ish es kodoshav. The person withholds his kodoshav and does not give it to the kohen as he's supposed to. Then he's going to be cursed. Lo yi you. Would you ever you withhold, the end will be that is the maximum amount of profit that your field will make in the future. And then the pasuk goes weiter, ish asher yitin l'kohen, the general halacha, a person, he does what he's supposed to do, he gives the kohen the gifts, lo yiyah, he'll be blessed, he'll be a very lo yiyah, he'll be blessed, he'll have a lot of money. Let's look at the Targum. Targum pasuk yud. Targum pasuk yud says ugevar, a man, yos ma'asar kud shoyhi, the miser, 10% of his holy matters, delay, are his, period. Now, what in the world does this mean? So here, Baruch Hashem, I have this great sefer, and he points out that the Targum here has injected a word that does not belong. The word ma'asar, where is that in the pasuk? All it says in the pasuk is v'ishaman, es kodoshav. The word kud shoyhi is the translation for the word kodoshav. Correct? So how then did the word ma'asar get into the pasuk? Now to prove the point, look back at pasuk tes. In pasuk tes it says, v'chol truma, all truma, l'chol kodshei. What does it mean kodshei, l'chol kodshei? What does the Targum there say? L'chol kudshaya. The Targum does not add in Pasuk Tes the word ma'asar. It's exactly the same word, and in Pasuk Tes it says l'chol truma, l'chol afra shusa, l'chol kudshaya. And here in Pasuk Yud, v'ish es kodoshav, when it says the word kodoshav, graya yos, ma'asar kudshayi. Why did the Targum add the word ma'asar into the word kodoshav? This has plagued the commentators to understand the depth of what the Targum is trying to say. Okay? Did this ever bother you, Mark, when you mava sedra for your whole life, shnayim bikavecha Targum, and you read this pasuk for all these years, and you came to this pasuk, did it ever occur to you that the word ma'asar is extra? You look very disturbed. This probably couldn't get sleep for years over this difficulty, all the times he read the pasuk.
But I related it to the truma being that it's also, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, yeah, okay. Loud and clear.
But it, just like it says truma, that's why now he's using the word maisa. That's the way I quickly
maisa, what truma? In pasuk test, it says the word truma, afra shusa is the translation for the word truma. And when it says l'chol kodshei, the translation is l'chol kudshaya. He has one word to translate the word kodshei. And in pasuk yud, when it says exactly the same word, es kodoshav, it's almost the same word, there's an extra vav, but it's the same, his holy matters, the Targum adds in another word, ma'asar. So the Mefarshim explain, they have a lot, he has a very long parish on this, in the Sefer called Ma'at, sorry that I'm leaving over here, and it says as follows. Uncle is basically has a different pshat than Rashi. Rashi alludes to this because Rashi says there are many perushim in the Sifrei. And what the Uncle is telling you, again, the Uncle is always telling you the most basic pshat in his understanding. And he understands this pasuk to mean the pasuk here is discussing Meiser Sheni and Meiser Behema. There's something very unique about Maisa Sheni and Maisa Behem that's not true regarding every other holy matter in the entire Torah. You know what's unique about these two things? It is 100% the property of the owner. When you bring Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim, do you give any of it to the kohen? No. when you buy Suri Trumos, the coin, my Surishan goes to the Levi. My Sa'oni goes to the poor man. What about my Sasheni? Who gets it? Who gets my Sasheni? You eat every mashu, every teeny little bit of my Sasheni. You eat. Only thing is, you have to eat it in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. What about Meiser Behema? Now, ordinarily, when you bring a carbon, who gets to eat the carbon? Kodesh Kodashim goes to the Kohanim. Kodeshim Kalim, bring a carbon Shlamim, you have to give the Kohen the Chozev V'Shoik. You have to give him a gift. The owner of a carbon shlamin does not get to eat the whole animal. Part of the animal must be given as a gift to the kohen. The choze is the chest and the thigh. Chulin is there's one exception. Meiser behemah. It's an incredible idea to be aware of this idea. This is a very nice thing you learn over. You go your whole life, you never know this idea. That when a person counts the animals, you have every tenth animal you paint. And it's Meiser behemah. Ho'asiri yihye kodesh. It's called kodesh. It's called holy. And what do you do with it? You bring it to Yerushalayim. You offer it as a sacrifice. And the kohanim get nothing out of it. Zero. Even the chozev v'shoy goes to the owner of the animal. If you were a kohen, if I was a kohen, I was doing avodah, I would look around. Whose carbon do I want to bring today? Well, I would only want to bring kodshei kodoshim because I get the whole animal. The kohen, when a person brings a carbon chatos, the owner eats nothing. All of the meat is eaten by the kohanim. So that would be ideal, right? If I'm a selfish kohen, I only want to eat kodshei kodoshim. Let's say there's no kodshei kodoshim left. All we got today are kodshei kalim. Who eats the meat of the kodshei kalim? It's eaten by the Yisrael. It's eaten by the owner. The owner. Not entirely. Okay, I just got an Amber Alert. You all got Amber Alerts over here. It's a curfew, 8 o'clock. Okay? And in 25 minutes, shelter in place. Shelter in place, 25 minutes. You can't hear me? Mark, you can't hear me? Mark, do you hear me?
I hear you.
Mark, you muted your phone. Mark, your phone is, you look, there's something wrong with your phone. You went out, you cut out in the middle, Mark. Mark, reboot. You hear me? Mark, you hear me? Mr. Fried, you hear me?
Probably rebooting.
Mr. Fried, you hear me?
Ezra, are you there?
You hear me? Mr. Fried, you hear me? Yes. Okay, good, okay. All right, Mark probably, Mark, you hear me now?
He's not on, he's off.
Mark came on. Now you hear me? Mark, you hear me?
After the buzz.
Yeah.
I heard you, my phone was muted.
Okay, good,
I couldn't hear anything.
But now you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, let's go. Okay, fine. Right.
So now. Example, you have to accept the buzz, the alert, then it switches back on.
Oh.
Okay, so.
Canceled it out.
Okay, so now.
How good they want you to say, yes, I heard it.
Shelter in place. Okay, so here we have a yeso. What is the yeso? We just lost someone. What happened? Who got lost over here? All right. We have over here the rule. The rule over here is. Meiser behemah. Meiser behemah is an exception to the rule. The kohanim get nothing out of meiser behemah. Nothing. They bring the carbon, they do shechita kabbalah chazrika, and they get nothing in return. Isn't that amazing? A kohen works so hard for you. You come, you bring the carbon, and he gets nothing. If it's kosher kadosh, the kohen gets a nice, he gets a lot, has a good dinner. Okay, steak. He has a good dinner. If it's kosher kalim, at least he gets a chozev shoik. If you have a chulin animal, he gets the zeroya, the lechoyim v'akeva. If it's chulin, Kechulin, if he goes out to a restaurant in Flatbush, he gets at least tongue, free tongue. Every time a kohen walks into the restaurant in Flatbush, he gets free tongue. I'm a kohen, you're entitled to the zeroya, is the right foot. The lechayim is the cheek, which includes the tongue. It's a lot of money, at least $50 every animal. And the akeva is the stomach, which anyway in America they throw in the garbage. They give it, they make it into dog food. They don't think they eat the keva today in America. The OU is under attack. Why don't you give away all the tongues? How could you give a hechsher on shrita when the zeroya belongs to the kohanim? It's a big, a tough question. They don't have a good answer. They don't have a good answer as to why ad hayoyim hazeh we still take away from the kohanim their gift that they are entitled to on chulin. It applies
in the chutz la'aretz?
Yes, even chutz la'aretz. There's no good answer. There really is no good answer. The reason why we would make it is because they were so poor. If we would take it away from the owner, then they couldn't make a parnasa. So what they did was they had a shtar in Yerushalayim, and they had a couple of kohanim, and they gave them a couple of bucks, and they wrote a shtar, their moichel, the zeroya vehalachayim v'akeva. Believe me, today no one's moichel nothing anymore. Okay, we live in a very selfish world. No one's moichel nothing anymore. So the kohanim, they want. How come they don't get it? They had a big meeting in the OU a couple of years ago. Big meeting, a kanoi came and was mamish toiveya from all the rabbanim. Why are you still doing this? And they had nothing what to say. They had nothing what to answer. I don't know what the maskana was. He put out a sefer, this person who made this whole thing, he put out a kuntras, recording, documenting the entire meeting and all of his arguments and the weakness of the counter arguments as to why they continue doing this. And when you read this little kuntras, basically you get the impression is we got a problem. I don't know what the answer is. But in any event, basically the kohanim always get, but there's one thing, this is an incredible idea. I never knew this idea until today. There's one thing that the kohanim never get. They get nothing out of a meiser behema. When you count 10 animals, you go through the pen, hoasiri gzuntait. If I were you, I wouldn't sneeze. Even because they'll soon they're gonna say that the corona travels through the wires of the internet. wait until they come up with that, right? But come up, the CDC will say, watch out, it goes over the internet. It goes.
If you want to spread the virus, just go out to a protest. Spread it.
So the question over here is, so this is what the pasuk is teaching you. How do you know this halacha that I just told you that you get to keep it? This pasuk, this targum unkelus, the ish es kodashav lo yihiyu. Unkelus worked backwards. It says here the word lo yihiyu. You get the entire animal. Nothing of it goes to the kohen. So how could that be? It's not true. Every carbon, the meat goes to the kohen. If it's kachay kodashim, it goes to the kohen. The whole animal goes to the kohen. If it's kachay kalim, it leads to zeroya, it leads to chozev v'shoik. So what does the pasuk then mean? So that is why Unkelus injected one word. And the word he puts in is v'ish, what's he say over here? Ugvar, a man, yos. Ma'asar could show he the miser of his kachim. What's called miser? Miser behema. It's kachim. What else is called kachim? Miser sheni. He gets every mashu, even the germs he gets to keep for himself. He gets everything. The ish ugvar yos ma'asar could show he delay. He gets to keep. Okay, isn't that a chiddush? That's how Elim shot. Rashi doesn't say this. Rashi says, we're talking about teruma. You get nothing. What does it mean, lo yihyu? It means that you have toiva, you can decide to which kohen you want to give it. That's all it means. You don't get to keep it. You don't get to eat it. It's not yours. All it means is you decide who gets to keep it. Incredible chiddush. So this is the pshat This is the chiddush of unkelus. If we learn unkelus, you never come across such a tremendous chiddush. Ugevar yos masar kutshoy delay. And then he goes, then the last part is the delay, yehei gevar, delay yehei, period. Delayed, it will be his. And then the second half of the pasuk reads, gevar deyitein l'chohana, a gevar, a man that gives to the kohen, delay yehei, lo yehei, it will be to him. He doesn't really translate. He doesn't translate what Rashi told us what it means. It means he'll be rich. If you give money to the Kohen, Hashem will bless you. You'll have a lot of money. Targum doesn't really elaborate. It's not clear what the Targum means to say delay. What it means lo yihiyu, lo yihiyeh. We have Rashi that tells us it's a pshut shel mikra. It's a brach. You'll be very rich. According to Targum, it just says delay yihiyeh. It will be to him. What does that mean exactly? It seems more like he's saying is that it goes to the Kohen. That when you do give something to the Kohen, it's the Kohen. What does it mean by that? It's not clear. I do not know. There's still more to learn in the Targum. Okay, now we begin a new section. We begin now a very exciting section. We learn about the Saita. Okay? Infidelity. Infidelity, this is a hot topic. This topic has plagued humanity from time immemorial. Okay? Infidelity. We should have over 1,000 people in this show today. To learn about the details, the intricate details of what goes on in the world of infidelity. Okay, so what does it say over here? It says over here the following: "Vaydav Hashem Moshelim, Adabel Bnei Yisrael, V'yamart Aleim, Ish Ki Siste Ishtoi U'Moala V'Moal Siste." Okay, two sins. As far as we know, as far as we are all mixed up. We don't make a differentiate. We don't differentiate between a sof and a sin. Can you differentiate between the two? I can't. Sista. If the pasuk would have been written with two sins or two sofs, it would be all the same to me. Maybe you. Sorry. Sista. Okay. So we have over here two a sof and a sin. Unfortunately, we don't differentiate, so it's all the same. Sista. Ish ki sista ishtoi. Umo'ala v'mo'al. What does this mean, Rashi? Rashi, pasik yudbeis, ish ki siste ishtoi ma kosev lamala minu inyin. Rashi is asking the question, what's the significance of the juxtaposition? Like that fancy word? The juxtaposition of the previous sugya that it says before when it comes to giving trumas and maestros to the Kohen. The ish, a man, es kodoshav, lo yihiyu, im atam ma'akev matonis ha-koyen. If you do not give the koyen what he deserves, chayecho, Hashem says, I swear by your life, shetitztarech lovoy etzloy, you'll have to come to him, lohavi loy es ha-soita, to bring him your wife. Better bring the koyen food than bring him your wife. Because if you bring him your wife, it's not going to end good. If you bring him the 10% of food, then it will end good. So that's why the two ahukash lahadadi, make sure he gets what he deserves. Now, question, next words of Rashi, why does it say the word ishish twice? L'lamdecha, shemoyeles b'shnayim. See, I don't know, see, I never knew what this means. I finally learned what this means because I had to give a share, I had to go look and stuff what this means. That if a man's wife commits adultery is not faithful, she has rebelled against two men. Who are the two men? Hashem ish milchama. Hashem Shemai. Hashem is also called an ish. And who else has she rebelled against? Her husband. Lelamdecha Shemai Eles b'shnayim b'ish milchama shel lemala. She has rebelled against the Ish Milchama in heaven. The Isho. Okay, and her husband, that's called an Ish, Milamat on this world. Isn't that amazing? A husband is like a god, is like her god. Okay, there's a parallel. A woman that's not loyal to her husband has rebelled against two men. Next Rashi. Ki sister Ishtoi. Shana Rabbeinu ki sister Ishtoi Shana Rabbeinu ina menafim noyafim ad shetikones bemruach shtos. when a woman is not loyal, she is only would do this if she is overcome with foolishness. V'chsev ki siste, v'chase bo noyef, isha chosa leif.
I think we skipped the Rashi, ki siste ishto.
Right, I'm reading it. Ki siste ishto, I'm reading it now. Shon rabo seinu, ein hanen, ein han hamin na'afin, noyafin. People who commit adultery do not do so, ad shetikonis bohen ruach shtos. They're overcome with a spirit of insanity. Why would a man or a woman be unfaithful to their spouse? It means it entered into their head a spirit of insanity. In other words, all you got to do is plead insanity. If you plead insanity, you win. You get Rashi supporting you. They catch you. Today in America, it's a big zach. All you got to do today, you commit a crime, is you got to just say, you got to plead insanity. And you win, right? That's all you got to do. So here, you have a Rashi that says that's right. So all you got to do, ein ha menafin noyafin ad shetikonis vem ruach shtus. The chsiv says ki siste. Uchsiv boy it says in Mishlei noyef isha chasar leif. A woman, read it backwards. An isha who's a noyef, a woman who commits adultery, is chasar leif. She doesn't have a heart. Okay, she's lacking intelligence. She is insane. Ubshudishal mikra, what's the pshudishal mikra? Ki siste, what's siste? Tot midarke tznius v'tichoshed be'enav. The word tot means she turns away from the ways of tznius v'tichoshed be'enav, and she is suspicious in his eyes. K'moi Sata me'olav avar, turn away from him. This is the pasuk in Mishlei describing a woman who is an oyefes, and the pasuk is giving her good advice: go away. If a man tries to seduce you, sata me'olav, turn away from him, va'avar, and pass away. Al yisoit el dirachecha libcha. And this pasuk talks to a man and says to him that if a woman comes to seduce you, don't turn to her. Don't turn to her ways. Your heart should not be influenced. Turn to her ways. So the Shudu Shalmik over here, the Rashi over here is coming to tell us over here the word sister. What is the meaning, the translation of the word sister? The Pshuta Shalmik Rashi says is sin tes. Sin tes is to turn away. You go off the derech, you veer. What does it mean? Ki siste ishtoi, his wife has deviated from the darkei tznius. A woman is supposed to be at home in the matzav of tznius, in a setting of privacy, and she decides she wants to go out into the world and have some fun. So she was sota from darkei tznius into a way that's not the midah of a Jewish woman. Sin tof. Sinatov, Sintes, what am I saying? Sintes. And then Rashi in the beginning says Drash, that don't read it as a sin, read it as a shin, with the dot on the right side, a shoita, shoita, a shoita with a shin, which means foolishness. That a woman who decided to commit adultery, it's because she was nichnas bo ruach shtus. There's a very big difference between the two parishes of Rashi. According to the first parish of Rashi, it's a good excuse. She's insane. Okay, plead insanity. According to the second parish of Rashi, it doesn't say that. According to the second, she made a conscious decision to go and leave the ways of tradition, of tzniut, of modesty, and go out into the world and find for herself a man which she can engage in sin. Okay, there's a major nafkamini between the two perushim of Rashi as to the precise translation of the word sister. Does it mean, can she actually plead? Does she have a limud zuchus of ein isha in the naf ella achen tikonis from ruach shtus? That's a very good thing to say. And you have to know that's in America, insanity. The truth is not so good in America. I once knew of a case where a guy, Taka, he wanted to plead insanity. He wasn't really insane. He was very normal, in fact. But he wanted to get off the hook. He wanted to plead insanity. So he told, did he tell this to me? Someone told the story to me. I don't remember. The problem was, if he pleads insanity and he wins, they lock him up in an insane asylum. So that might even be worse. What's better, to go to jail with normal people, with criminals, but at least they're normal, or to be locked up in a Meshugayim ward where everyone thinks they're Mashiach? Where would you rather be? Would you rather be with intelligent people who are plotting to overthrow the world? Or would you be with Meshugayim who think they control the world? That's a very big dilemma. So over here, this woman. Now let's see over here. That's Rashi. Rashi said a mouthful. Next words of Rashi, umal, and she commits a transgression. Let's read another pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. What is the transgression? V'shochav ish oisos shichva zera. A man lies with her, a lying that includes shichva zera. Okay, which means there was a maisa, an act of bia. Vinela me'ene isha. Now, what does that mean? It was hidden from the eyes of her husband. Isha, with the dad in the hay, means her husband. Vinistera, she was. Now, what's the word vinistera? It's a very hard word to translate. Vinistera, she was locked up. She was sheltered in place. Vehi nitmo'a, and she is tamtmea. The aid ain bapa, there are no witnesses. Vehi lo nis. But she was not seized. She was not forced. Now this pasuk is a mouthful. Let's see Rashi. Rashi explains exactly, the long Rashi explains what is this pasuk in the Pshuta Shel Mikra. V'shachav ish oisah, a man lies with her, ish prat likotan. First of all, in order to become a seder, she has to be dafka an adult man, not a child. U'mi she'enoi ish, ish prat likotan, u'mi she'enoi ish. Now what does that mean? What in the world does that mean? Misha ain't with a goylem? What does that mean? Misha ain't a ish. I really don't know what that means. Okay? What?
He's a cotton, he can't do it.
No, that's the first thing. Ish prat likaton. And then Rashi says, Misha ain't a ish. Maybe that means a woman. Okay, there's a very big debate. We learned Daf Yomi today in the Welt. I'm not going to even say the word. There are women that live with women. Okay, I don't even want to say that word. Okay?
You didn't do that. Today's daf
yom? No, not today. About a month ago. Okay, there's only one daf. The whole world is built, the whole world is, revolves around, you know, the man with the gender, same gender, okay? Same gender. Which is man and man and women. Where in the world do you have a makar of two women? I mean, two men is all over the Torah. Okay? It's in the Torah. The Torah used some very extreme language. It's a to'eva, an abomination, extreme, and the whole world is a talk. You know, it became part of the language today. But today in this crazy world we live in, we have over here the Zel Bazach by two Noshim, Isha and Isha. Wait a minute, where did that come from? Is there any pasuk in the Torah that talks about that? Do you recall what?
Very kind Gadol. That he had a
psula
though from man or woman.
A man what? A man, a woman, that she didn't lose her psula from another woman? I'm not familiar with. There's no. I don't think it's even discussed. What you mean is Muka 8. What you mean is a woman that's an accident.
Who had a relationship with another woman?
It doesn't say that. It does. I don't think it says a muka eitz, which means that she had an accident.
Yeah, I know a muka eitz.
A procedure, a medical procedure.
Then the kind of wants to marry her. Is she a psula?
Why not? Where do you have a mukar? So the Gemara talks about Shmuel's daughters. Shmuel did not let his daughters sleep in the same bed. The Gemara, there's one Maima Chazal B'chol HaTorah Kula that deals with this thing that today is all over the whole world. One Maima Chazal, the whole thing. So I'm asking you a question. Is Rashi here alluding to that? Over here you have a husband, and this husband has a wife. The shir is not a very, I don't think this the shir is like a rated R shir here. Right? A man has a wife, And the husband says to his wife, you've been fooling around. I'm going to take you to the Kohen to give you to drink from the Mei HaMa'arim. You go to the Kohen. The Kohen says, what did your wife do? So he says, my wife, she had yichud with another man. Oh, another man. Oh, who's the guy? Oh, and man. Oh, boy, okay, that's it. Come, we're going to give you a drink, the Mei HaMa'arim. Let's say he says, my wife had yichud with a child. Come on, get lost. Don't bother us. Get out of here. Let's say the husband says, my wife had a relationship with another woman. Is that qualify as infidelity in the eyes of the Torah that she should now drink from the Mei HaMa'arim? So Rashi here alludes and says, no. Ish prat lekatan umi she'enoi ish. What is that? What do those words mean in Rashi? I don't know what those words in Rashi mean. Is Rashi...
You can exclude it from the pasuk from Zera. Isha Misha, there's no Zera.
The Shachav Ish Oisa, oh, you're saying very good. The Shachav Ish Oisa, and Ish is Oisa Shechva. So therefore, you don't need to say that because so then what then does it mean? Misha Ina Ish. What about a child? A child also doesn't have Shechva Zera. A child also has no Shechva Zera. No, I don't know. Maybe he does. I don't know. I don't know what the Mitzvah is.
They have.
Nine years old.
That's not Zera. That's not viable.
But is it called? I don't know. So okay. Let's not get into too much detail. But this is just want to point out. This is a very bizarre Rashi. Not very interesting Rashi. Prat lekatan umi she'eno yish. You tell me it's like Esther. These very very bizarre midrashim that Esther. You go to a chassid and they'll tell you that Esther never really was with Achashverosh. Esther, she sent in her place a shade. Really? Okay. If you understand that. A body double. So the body double wasn't a human being. It was a demon. So you're going to tell me that the husband says, my wife has been unfaithful with a demon. And the demon produces Shechva Zera. So the Kohen says, I'm sorry, sir. Go back home. Shalom al Yisrael. The Torah says, Ish prat lekatan umi she'enoi ish. The Maral's goylam does not qualify for the parish of Seder. It has to be a human being. It's an incredible Rashi. What does this Rashi mean here? Weiter. Oysa shechva zera, shechivasa peselis oysa, ve'ein shechivas achoysa peselis oysa. What's the word oysa? He was being medayag now on the word her. It's a very important halacha. Kemaisa b'shtei achuyot shahyudoyma zo lezo. What happens if a husband, there's a halacha that a man is not allowed to be married to two sisters. He's not allowed to be married to two sisters. So what happens now if the husband, by accident, has relations with his sister-in-law? Oh, I'm sorry, with his wife's sister. So now, does that automatically mean that he's not allowed to be with his wife anymore? Because you're not allowed to be with two sisters. So therefore, both of them have to be divorced. I mean, the second one he wasn't married to. He's married to his wife, obviously. He has a wife. He's not allowed to marry the wife's sister. Chorus. This is a terrible thing to do. The wife's sister. Let's say he accidentally has. He's born his wife's sister, or either Mazer B'Shoigek. Let's say wherever it was. That does not force him to divorce his wife. The parish is Soita is only when the wife was unfaithful, not when the wife's sister was unfaithful with him, which means that he's now living. Yes, the child is a mamzer, absolutely. Let's say there's no child, just a maisabia. Let's say there is no child, there's just the relationship. So the Torah says that's not the parish of Saita. Even though he did a terrible, terrible Avera, that does not force him to divorce his wife, that does not force him to go and bring his wife to the Kohen, because the pasuk says, Oisa. The whole parsha that we're learning about, this whole very interesting story about bringing her to the Kohen and giving her to drink, the Mesoita, is only when the wife was nichshol in an Isser of Arayis. Not where the problem stems because he's now having a relationship with two sisters. That's not the case. Rashi Nachamol Shchivasa Parcelas Asav Ein Shchivasa Chayisa Parcelas Asav Kemaisa. The Gemara is a story there. B'shteachuyas, there were two sisters that were very similar, and by mistake he had relations with his wife's sister. That when they clarified what happened, he's permitted to return to his wife. Shayudayim Zolazo. Next words of Rashi Vanela Meini Isha. It was concealed. Prat Lasuma. Which means that her husband, this teaching, must have vision. If her husband does not have vision, then the parish of Saita does not apply. Gezeres HaKosef. Pral Suma. Ha im haya ro'a o me'am'em or sramachem umalim ein hamayim baidkin oisa. Another halacha. Let's say this is a second halacha Rashi's telling us over here. Let's say he actually sees. Let's say the husband knows as a fact that his wife was guilty of infidelity. Then the parasha does not apply. The parasha of Soita only applies when the suffix has a bona fide doubt. He does not know what happened. Again, the basic story over here is a woman had yichud. They were together in one room for a period of time. And there is no one in the world that knows what happened in this room other than Hashem and these two people. The husband honestly does not know what happened. In this case only, he takes his wife to the kohen and the kohen gives her to drink. However, if the husband knows as a fact what has happened, because he saw what happened, then the parasha of Soita does not apply. He does not take his wife to the kohen. He divorces his wife and that's the end. The whole parasha is... It has to be vanilla me'ini isha, prat l'suma. That's number one. Number two, Rashi says, im ro'a, let's say he saw ume'am'im. Now, ume'am'im means he conceals. I think it means the same thing as in what it says in the parentheses in my edition. He makes believe he doesn't know what happened. He makes believe it doesn't work. Ein ha'mayim b'itkin, the water is not going to test her. Next, v'nistera, shi'ur shetire l'tumas bia. There has to be enough time that they're together in this room that an avera could have taken place. This is Nogei Lemais when it comes to the chassan, to the yichud room. After the chassan and kala get married, they go into a room, into a private room, they lock the door, and there are witnesses that stand outside. How long do the witnesses have to remain outside? So the answer is the amount of time that it would take for them to do this action, which modern-day poskim say is not more than 9 minutes. I don't know where they got this number from. I have honestly no idea how they get this number, but that is what it's brought down in all the big books. The witnesses that stand outside, they're there for about 9 minutes. Next, so too, when it comes to parasha of Soita, it must be 9 minutes. The eight ain't bought, and there are no witnesses.
It's less than 9 minutes, because...
I told you, I don't know anything about this.
Marriage,
I don't know anything about this. Don't worry, whatever. That's what whatever it is. The Eidin Ba, Ham Yeshba, Filu Eid Echad, Sha'ama Nitmes, Lo, Chaisa, Shaisa. Under ordinary circumstances, he'd have to have two witnesses. Let's say we only have one witness. One witness, that's already enough to not to give her to drink. Because Eid is Loshan Yachav Eidin Ba. Next, the Eidin Ba, Betum, Betuma, Aval Yesh, Eidim, Listira. There is no witness seeing what happened inside the room. But there are witnesses that are testifying that indeed they did have yichud. They were indoors together in a private area. There are witnesses that testify that happened. But nobody knows what actually happened inside. The hiloi nitpasa nensa. She was not forced. She entered into this room with this man on her own free will. K'moy v'tofsa v'shachavima. Like it says in Dvarim, the word nivasa is used in that context where a woman was forced. Okay, let me read through the pasuk one more time and we're finished. Pasuk Yud Gimel, what's the problem? Shachav ish oisa. A man lied with her. Ish is prat what? Ish, not a child and not a creature that's not called an ish. Oisa, what's oisa mean? The problem is with her. Shechva zera, vinela meine isha. The husband has eyes. He has me'en, he has eyes. If he's blind, then the parsha doesn't begin. Number two, v'nelam, the husband for real does not know what happened inside. V'nistera, she was in the room for a period of time where an aver could have happened. V'nistera, v'hi nitma, and pasuk, now what's v'hi nitma? See, Rashi over here is not explaining this. This is a very important point, which unfortunately Rashi didn't explain. Just the fact that a woman is in yichud with another man, even if an Avera did not take place, that brings upon her contamination. That makes her Tanea, meaning that's not right. A woman that has Yichud with another man, even if nothing happened, Vehi Nitma, because it could very well be there was no act. An act did not take place, still Vehi Nitma.
So what? She's
Nitma. Nitma means that she committed a crime. She did something that makes that brings upon herself a spiritual contamination. To willingly go... this is a Soit. That's what a Soit is. A Soit is a woman who the husband does not know what happened. That's what the Pasuk says. Vinela me'ina isha. The husband does not know what happened. But one thing we do know that happened. We do know that she did have Yichud with another man. Vinistra, she was locked up in a room. We do not know if the act, what we do not know is if they actually did a Maisa Bia. That's what we do not know. But we do know as a fact
that... Where's the Hasrod that the husband has to tell a Hasrod?
That's late. That's going to be the second time. That's going to be the second warning. We have a long story here to go. Let's do one because of time.
There's no Hasrod.
The next later, let's say the Pasuk Yudal comes to Asra. It's a process. It's a process.
Applies also if there's no Kina.
What? Yes, the first time, not the second time.
Any time a woman has Yichud with a husband, with a stranger,
the second time. Huh? It's a very complicated process. Let's see. Okay, let's one thing at a time. We're going to get to your question tomorrow. We'll be there. Right now, Vinishra Vihinitma. The aiding badra he nitma. One thing is by going into a room with another man, that's a navera. The aid in ba. There are no witnesses. We don't have two witnesses. We don't have even one witness to tell us what happened indoors. If we even have one witness indoors to tell us what happened, then it's over. There's no din saita. The he loy nitbasan. One thing we do know for sure is that we have witnesses that she went into the room with another man willingly. So Rashi over here already has taken this pasuk, has dissected it, and presented so many conditions. After everything is said and done, in order for a woman to be a bona fide sota, where they're going to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash to give it to drink for the Meham Ma'arim, it's extremely rare. To fulfill all of the conditions, it's one in a million. One in a million stories that you hear in court will result in the woman being because you have to. Okay, we'll stop over here. Have a wonderful day. Have a good night. Curfew. A boy side, go into your basement and hide.
No.
Shalom. Shalom al Israel. Shalom al Israel. Okay, be well. Good night. Be well.
Hey, everybody. If you're going home from shul, they won't bother you.
How do you know?